This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show here in Honolulu. Another beautiful day. I have with me today Miss Kimberly Kalama from Waimanalo. Good morning, Kim.
Hello, Carol. Good morning.
Yeah. So I see you made it over the mountain, and I'm glad you came to sit and talk with us. And I was going to. The reason I called you and asked you to join me, I have some real concerns with what's going on. I'm always concerned that what is being perpetrated here in the community, and that is, we have Hawaiian culture. I'm a transplant here, so to be respectful, I don't have any solutions. What I can try and offer is to point out what's wrong with the people that are protecting the culture, and nurturing it, when they do things that are wrong or disrespectful. But as far as the actual cultural and the understanding and what should be done and how it should be done, I'd leave that up to you and others. But I had a situation here that I observed. You know, we had the palace, and there's been, I don't know if one would call it a protest or what, because I don't know the real history, and only the people that are speaking out know what the real issues are. So I'm an outsider again, and I won't project my beliefs or feelings. But what I want to talk about and share with the public out there is that the Department of Land and Natural Resources, who I have talked about early in many occasions on the show, and that is with Laura Thielen, appointed by Governor Lingle. And my concerns is that they really don't assign an importance, a level of importance that should be assigned to cultural sites, to places like the palace and other. You know, I saw that they say it's 38,000 sites in the state or something like that on the islands. But I'm aware that, for example, there was a birthing stone up, or what type of stone was it up in Waimea? Birthing stone. And I got up there with you. You found it, and you asked the Historic Preservation to come and look at it, and it took them a long time, right?
It took them quite a while, but what I wanted them to do was at least document it, to save it, so that we could protect it.
So,
what I find out is, in most cases, when something is found, our State Historic Preservation Office is notified, and they are to come, to come out and document the find. What has happened is, Governor Lingle had appointed Melanie Chenin, who, in my opinion, at one time, she is no longer there, but at one time was not qualified, this is my opinion, was not qualified to make the right or proper decisions on behalf of our traditional Hawaiian burials, as well as a number of our sacred sites and culturally important places. Well, anyway, Melanie was supposed to have managed the State Historic Preservation Department, but while there, she has managed to misplace or lose hundreds of documents. This is reports that are very important. You know, these are vital reports that, you know, they have oral details in these documents. And it's from the State Historic Preservation Office's library. Well, you know, I'm really upset about that because, this is, you know, this is important information. This is of great concern for us as the local people here, indigenous people here. Because these are the documents that help protect and preserve our places for developers that are coming in here and overdeveloping. So this, you know, this is a part of the problem we have, which is sad. Our iwi kupuna, you know, our burials, which are very much important, are being not taken care of in a proper way.
Right. Well, you know, one of the reasons, as I shared with you, that, that I've invited you, and I'll take this responsibility of, but one of the most troubling things or aspects of this recent scenario where it involved people coming and making a statement as to the ownership of the, or the protesting, we'll call it, or locking the gates. If you, if the public would just pay close attention, in Laura Thielen's press statement that she made the night of that incident, she only thanked the her sister state agencies, the Attorney General, the Public Safety Division, and she purposely left out the police department, the Honolulu Police Department. Now, I know factually, and I spoke earlier on other shows, that they have some serious shortcomings, they being the DLNR, on her leadership.
Yes.
And it's shameful. It is shameful. Excuse me. It is shameful what she is perpetrating. And it's intentional. And in that she leave the police department out to dry. She hangs them out to dry. She subject them to embarrassment and just untold number of negative letters. Now, I'm not defending the police department. They can stand on their own.
Right.
But it is shameful what she did when you take an agency such as the Honolulu Police Department. I mean, everybody, there's flaws in everything. There's no perfect world. But I've lived in many states and cities, and I can tell you, one of the finer efforts put on by police departments is the Honolulu Police Department. I see them even along the freeway helping people changing tires and doing, and you know, and you might argue one has bad apples and everything, but to turn around and subject and project and portray the police department as being this evil entity that fails to protect the public, and this lady was being assaulted, and so they shifted all the attention, and it's purposeful, because I'm told by DLNR officers, and that's plural, that the DLNR had received on their hotline an hour or so before the incident started, this last incident started, and they circled the wagons, they ran down in the Kalani Moku building, the state officers, and were asked to gather there while this event was occurring. They only got excited when someone said that they were entering the palace.
Right.
So Thielen, now, and I'm not going to get too long-winded here, but keep in mind there was a recent incident just earlier, right?
Right.
And in that incident, Thielen didn't know what to do, and they had a week or more that they sat in the basement. They had no operations plan, right?
Right.
They had absolutely nothing. They don't have the ability to write an affidavit when you go in and book at the Honolulu Police Department. You need to write an affidavit and do all of that in the process, right? These officers have not received that training. Yet, it was the Honolulu Police Department who did, it was their jail that did the booking, it was their officers, yet she didn't bother to thank them, but she had the presence of mind to thank her sister state agencies. So that's a telltale sign there that she knew that her fingers had been caught in a crack, and she didn't want us to know that because it reflects the great flaws in this administration being legal. Legal appointed her. Governor Legal appointed her, so the burden is on her.
Right.
And to shift it to Boise Carrere, the chief of police, and project the police department as some negative entity, I think it's shameful.
Right. There has been a great injustice to the people here. This is just not acceptable. You know, what everybody has the right to voice their opinions, mm-hmm. and speak, you know, freedom of speech. You know, as far as pointing the finger who was wrong or who was right, really I can't answer that. But I can tell you that I am worried for our sacred sites, our places of significance, because this is our history. This is something that we need to take care of as a people. And we have actually more rights than we understand or we know out there.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting a lot better. I mean, it's about education, Carol.
Right.
I mean, you know, we all need to educate ourselves here. And we have to take our own initiative to find out what is going on. But I am concerned about losing, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody could have gone in there and damaged
right.
our special places. I mean, anybody could have
at
done
any time.
At any given time.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a big wake-up call. You know, I can't say enough, but this, it's not right what the government,
mm-hmm.
as far as Lingle's administration is
mm-hmm.
doing,
mm-hmm.
how they're handling all these issues, because these are very important issues.
Right.
And they're the people's issues.
Yeah, you know, I had something shared with me that, you know, there was a statement that it was a Honolulu Police Department SWAT team that went in there, and I was told by officers within the agency that, no, that was the Rapid Response Force, sheriffs that were trained.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so everything is negative. It's the Honolulu Police Department did this, and the Honolulu Department didn't do that, and on and on and on, right? But the reality is, you have a ragtag agency, which is found in the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, who has the Historical Preservation Agency,
yes.
Burial Council.
Yes.
They have the DOCARE, but just to inject a little humor, but it's shameful humor. This is their website. Now, this is just as a start, and these are professionals that are out there. We hire, we pay people to handle and project an image of the DLNR. They have Deborah Ward, who's an
right.
information
mm-hmm.
specialist, and mm-hmm. they have intelligent people there.
Mm-hmm.
But the website, the first thing that you see is State of Hawaii, Department of Land and Natural Law Resources. Not natural resources. So that just tells you that it's spelled N-A-T-U-R-L-A. Right? That's on the website. Now, that's no big deal. But what that tells me is that you have a ragtag attitude about this. You have, because you're not placing the Hawaiian culture and those valuable and precious and historical items and locations and that are critical.
Yeah, they are critical.
You, if you successfully wipe them out, and if you, if I were today, this is why I'm really moved by this whole thing, because if I were today, walk down and took my black marker and wrote on a church wall or a cemetery or a headstone or anywhere near it, that would be desecration.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a felony.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we have a palace that sits here. We have a barracks that sits here. We have all of those, and they just lie waving in the wind, inviting anybody, not just people of a Hawaiian culture or ancestry who wants to make a statement and raise an issue with
mm-hmm.
with what. Anybody, some nut or some kook could come in to make a statement or just don't care.
Right. Right. And that's what we need to do, is help protect these sites and these places. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you read up about the burial council. Burial councils were put in place for us, mm-hmm. for the people, to at least have a voice in making some of these decisions. You know, but what it came down to is that, you know, they don't give mm-hmm. the right information to these burial councils.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason why the council was put in place was for us, keep our stewardship.
Right.
A stewardship of the land
mm-hmm.
as well as our Ivi Kupuna, which is the bones of our, you know, our ancestors. But they are flaws, like
right.
you said earlier, you know. We have a, you know, there's amount of information given to these councils
mm-hmm.
that, you know, whether or not they're intentionally left out, that is where the problem lies, you know. And what I mean by that is, as an example, you know, that what the burial council could do is ask for detailed information, you know, from the archaeologists mm-hmm. that come out on site, so that, you know, we can get a better understanding of the finds.
Mm-hmm.
It's so it's not incomplete, you know. And well, what the state does is the state will come in and they will assign a number to each burial.
Mm-hmm.
So when the burial council receives this, it looks like they're from all different sites, all different locations, when in actuality, they're all from one site.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a problem. To me, it's almost as if the state is trying to, you know, undermine us as far as, okay, let's not keep them as one site. Let's you know, break it down and make it look like they're all over the place. Well, there's not enough information and
mm-hmm.
experience out there from the state office to know that we do have traditional Hawaiian burials, cemeteries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the state, mm-hmm. they don't go into extent to find out what the boundaries are
right.
of the burials. So, you know, it becomes a very sensitive issue for all of us, because we are the stewards of the land and of our ancestors.
So the boundaries can be, anyone can encroach on them. I recall doing some research on various cases, and shameful to learn that a developer can hire someone to go in and do an assessment and what have you, an inventory, if
right.
there's EV and what
mm-hmm.
have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was appalled and shocked to learn that all that's required is that you take pictures of the EV.
They were, but that is not culturally, you know,
right.
respectful. I mean, definitely not.
But this is sanctioned by the DLNR.
Yes, it is.
And you know, my thing is that I found some instances on the Big Island where Evie were just broken up, left scattered on the ground.
Yes.
And at Honokohau area. And I also found in certain documentation that shows that the Evie had been removed from their original site. Burial site, and in turn, in shoe boxes and garbage cans in the garage of an individual. But sanctioned by the DLNR.
Yes.
So, but again, I think it's so important that the public understand. Don't allow yourself to be duped by this. And it's a concerted effort on the part of DLNR and that staff, and this is their spin on it. If we can show that the Honolulu Police Department is a bad entity and it was them who really caused the problem. You know, they didn't protect that lady that was assaulted.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, and then in turn you start this fever, this, you know, that gets out of control, and the letters of to the editors and on and the radio shows.
It's a mean of diversion.
Yeah.
Get the problem away from who actually is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, who is the responsible party here? It is not the police department's, you know, responsibility
right.
to handle that situation. It was the Department of
yeah.
Land and Natural Resources,
which has the DOCARE, Department of Conservation.
DOCARE, yes.
But one thing here I want to share, and you have something, you and I interrupted you.
Go ahead.
But let me just share with the public out there. And
yeah.
Here. This is from their website under their mission statement, DLNR. This is what, when we call the real police, we get the Honolulu Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
When we get the lookalikes and the Bonnie Fifes and the guys with guts on them that obviously never worked, they don't have any education in law enforcement, no prior law enforcement background, their leader has no law enforcement background, right? Their deputy has no background, here the branch chief, here the acting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, the one under the under the chief goes to Alaska and violates their conservation laws, illegal type fishing. And this is what this unit is composed of. Not all now. Some of them are some of the finest, and they're expressing their concerns, but they can't go to Thielen and ask to have this removed. And later I'm going to talk about some of the... There's a laundry list of grievances that these guys have had to file through their union. And it's not just me speaking. And so the phone rings. That 3 o'clock phone call that Hillary Clinton talks about, it calls, and it's Laura Thielen. You know, and it's DLNR to them. And they say, no, call the real police, you see, because we don't have sirens on our trucks. We don't have the ability to, we can't, we have a policy that we can't transport someone if we arrest them. We don't have a policy on booking. We don't have any training on booking. So when you call, that's just why the police department is having to get involved. You have the sheriff that is sitting right there at the state capitol,
mm-hmm.
and driving around patrolling.
Right.
They work for the state.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they part of the operations plan? They could have just walked over there and was probably there. But instead, the DLNR had to call the real police,
mm-hmm.
you see. But if you look at the DLNR, you'll see on their back, police.
Right.
You see,
mm-hmm.
so this thing is just—it's sickening. It should not be tolerated, and I hope that the people out there demand more rather than falling into the trap of being baited
mm-hmm.
by this agency. But one thing here, to just drive home my point, they never intend to do anything for protecting and preserving Hawaiian culture, not more than they have to. And for example. Current DoCare staffing levels make it impossible to provide for adequate coverage on a 24-hour basis. Occasionally, complaints wait 24 hours or longer before an officer can respond to investigate the case.
Mm-hmm.
Limited funding for regular and holiday overtime also diminishes our ability to respond to resources violations at the time when our officers are needed most. I'm sorry. You know, that's why you see the police having to get involved, because we don't have a DoCare, a conservation officer, or anybody available after 11 o'clock. So,
mm-hmm.
shamefully, the Honolulu Police Department comes, having to use their resources to do the job of people that have monies, you know, set aside. Legislators have allowed budgeting, have budgeted for this in state budget. And yet, when you need them, they can't come. They have to call the real police.
Well,
and then turn around and then insult and assault the integrity of the Honolulu Police Department for coming and filling in for what they should have been doing themselves.
Right. Well, Carol, we don't have enough time on this program to go into all those issues, because, yes, the state has always find a way to divert their responsibility away from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though they're always trying to write in their own laws,
right.
or amend their own laws, you know, but it's not just that department. There is so many departments.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through years and years of being diverted, you know,
mm-hmm.
from one department. You try to get any kind of information from, you know, that we've gone there before on my own property, you know, with the state and the reservoirs issues,
mm-hmm.
and what do we get? We get sidetracked,
yeah.
you know, so.
We saw that Peter Young, for example.
Right.
You know, he left in a hurry or in a scurry. And it was because, you know, and I look back at this gentleman that was part of this recent protest. And he has documents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sitting thinking, and listening to all of this and thinking, well, he has documents and he's laying claim, but the integrity of the state agency to look at those documents or whatever mm-hmm. has diminished, because remember there was a little problem where Young had allowed some title company
yes.
to go in and be directly involved with the documents.
Yes.
Documents that are historical in nature and that would reflect who the ownership and what have you. So just in that's another example where Thielen, and under the watchful eye of Governor Linda Lingle, allow these conditions. So even if there was, and I don't know who's bona fide a person party to lay claim to the palace or the kingdom, I won't go there because it's not my
issue.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I'm concerned, but it's just I don't believe that I could do it justice. But this talks a lot about there's neglect. And I don't believe, and that's why I always say, and people say, what do you mean by that? I don't just throw on a lei and an aloha shirt and think I'm a Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are deeper seated issues. They're deeper than that. I mean, I'm still trying to get over my 40 acres and a mule that was promised to my folks for, and we haven't gotten that one. So, but when I see this, and I see how it's being handled, and I see how the DLNR sits back and just so casually treat historical sites, which is the cultural
right.
of the Hawaiian people.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the ones who's responsible for that, or the gatekeepers, the caretakers, to keep that flame going.
We are the stewards.
And in turn, they can't claim they don't have the money.
No. The thing is, well, you know, there is a big injustice done here to the Hawaiian people. We have a public law out there that was put in place, and that's the apology bill.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much in hand right now that, you know, we have the world in our hands, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have all opportunity here to make an end to a lot of these disrespectful, you know, injustices that have been mm-hmm. done to us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a part of being... To me, this is like we are all supposed to unify to make things happen the right way.
To make it pono.
Right. But you see, like what the Department of DLNR is doing, they're diverting us away mm-hmm. from the actual accomplice,
mm-hmm.
the people who are responsible. They are diverting us away so that we cannot make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to stand mm-hmm. up and step forward, and we will do that.
Well, we're going to take a break, Kim. This is the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Kim Kalama, and we'll be right back. You can catch us at carol@carolcox.com, or iPod, you can download it, a podcast.
Okay. Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please. Because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit!
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Again, my guest is Kim Kalama, and Kim, thank you. And this is just it's a great time. I've had this on my chest and on my mind for a while. And as I say, we interviewed Ms. Thielen. And if you want to call in, 524-1080. And we have a caller. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's going on? You got a question?
Oh, yes. Well, it's a comment first. What was said about the police department not being too well educated and what they're doing.
The DLNR now.
Okay. Now, I resent that because I majored in police science. And we are very, very well educated in the law. However, I think the blame goes to the union more than the policemen themselves.
Well,
they have to do...
Terry, let's clarify something. If we're going to talk about making apple cider, let's deal with apples. When you say the police, I'm speaking specifically to the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources officers who call themselves police.
Okay.
Okay, so let's make sure that... Okay.
Okay, I'll take that, Dan. I'm sorry.
No problem, but come on.
I had to make that... Now that you clarified who it was that you were talking about...
I appreciate... You there?
Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, but I appreciate that. But and that is just my very point that I'm trying to make here, is that we take an agency who is trained, who is experts, who are professional, and have to deal with a lot more than just the normal, someone has chained the gates at the palace. Uh-huh. Can you come help us? Who is this? Oh, this is the deal in our police department.
Uh-huh.
Can you come and help us? We need real policemen. That's what I was meaning. A little sarcasm, but again.
Yeah.
But share with me some of that you were talking about the union. Is it applying now to...
The police, of course, are, you know, they do have a union. And I would think that the union apparently is not doing their job educating in this sense, educating,
mm-hmm.
or doing what they should do in educating the police anyway.
The DLNR.
The police themselves, what they can and cannot do.
Right.
Okay. Now, the DLNR, I understand now what you were saying. Okay.
Now, you mentioned about the union, and I'm glad you called in. Yeah, well, I'm unions, and so just for example, speaking of education and professionalism, the union, the HGA, unit number 3 and 4, has filed a list of things, grievances. For example, they are talking about, let me just give you an example of some of the issues that the police, the DLNR officers don't get certain training.
Uh-huh.
Right? They are no radio equipment, no proper care, right? And there is a number of grievances that have been filed. For example, communication dispatch. They don't have adequate communication or dispatch at nighttime, dealing officers.
Okay. Because I have a couple of other things that I want to tell you. But now, like I said, I understand. But now you're explaining something to, which is very good for me to know.
Right.
Is that you're explaining about these other things that the policemen do not have. I think the union is to be blamed because aren't they the spokespeople?
Well, that's what I'm trying to share with you.
Okay.
I'm sharing with you a list that have been presented to me by union people that have had this,
uh-huh.
and this is right now actively being dealt with. They have filed a grievance.
Okay.
They're talking about hazardous pay for specialized operations such as Marine unit policy, pay for FTO, the special operations policy, SOP,
uh-huh.
right,
yeah.
for Marine units. Guidelines for booking, arrest, transport procedures.
Yeah.
Now, so that no confusion out there, and if
right.
you're confused
right.
and you're listening, let's call these conservation officers, and to distinguish between in conversation.
But you can understand now why not only myself, but other people who do not know, like what you're explaining to me, mm-hmm. has not been explained to the public. You see,
well,
and now I'm being educated by you
mm-hmm.
as to other things that prevent the policemen from doing what they should be doing,
right.
You know, as the guardians of the people. So now I understand that part. You,
mm-hmm.
you've explained it to me, and I understand, okay?
Right. Well, and I appreciate you calling. I mean, it's not to disagree or agree. I just...
But you gave me the information that mm-hmm. I was, you know, not aware of.
Well,
yeah.
Good, and please call in any time.
There's something else, too, that a couple of other things, and I'll try to make it short. Now, when it comes to, you know, the bones that I found in these different places, you know, construction places and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm very, very angry with OHA.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because Hawaiian Homes, and I do, you talked about Hawaiian Homes, and that's what got me really upset too, because that's part of what the problem you have to with getting that land.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that with all the land that is under Hawaiian Homes, there should be a portion of that land that should be set aside as a cemetery for these bones that have been found, which we believe are of our ancestors. Of course,
mm-hmm.
even though not identified, okay, we have enough land to build a cemetery, like a Chinese cemetery, okay, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And I feel that OHA is being very neglectful in doing their in using money.
Right. Well,
wait, Carol, if I can
okay.
just break
yeah.
in. Hi, Terry. My name is Kim Kalama.
Hi. Uh-huh.
And I understand what you're saying, but the whole issue here is we don't want to be removing our ancestors from their land. I think the process here is to preserve in place, because
yeah.
a lot of these places are our traditional Hawaiian cemeteries that they're coming in and developing. So we don't want to set aside lands to remove them. I don't want to move my dad from where he's buried, you know, laid to rest.
Well, yeah, but then you don't know if the bones that are found in these places that are, you know,
mm-hmm.
disturbed by, you know, where these constructions are built, you don't know, though, if those are your ancestors. Okay, so this is what I am talking about. You see, these bones that have not been identified, and which is assumed is
mm-hmm.
are bones of Hawaiians, the old Hawaiians, right? Because we didn't have graveyards before in those days. Okay. Now, in order to honor these people who are not identified or in the time being, they should be honored to have the place set aside where we, even though that I don't know if it's my grandmother's bones, that
mm-hmm.
I can go there and just honor the bones of whoever is there. That is considered that are what we consider bones of our ancestors.
Well, that's a point yeah. well taken. I see
yeah.
you've given
now,
a lot of thought to it. So
and now in the Hawaiian homelands, okay,
Terry.
Okay.
I'm trying to avoid. I don't want to say that we're not talking about that subject, but we're not talking about DHHL right now. And
okay.
And I thought you had something, and I appreciate
well,
what
well,
you. But listen, do call. I am going to sit and talk about that, but I'm very careful to say to Native people what they should do with their culture. It's just that in itself would be disrespectful. So I don't believe that it's my place, and I don't know what your background is, but you know, I'm not going to sit on air and say that others are neglecting and not showing a respect, and then I turn around and start.
I am a Hawaiian ancestor.
Well, that's good, and what I do, I'm going to give you my number.
Okay.
And if you would be so kind, I'd like to you come on or come in and talk, and that's all this is about, expressing things that rarely get out on the air. But but for right now, I had something just pressing that had been eating.
Oh, okay. Is there a way I can call you then after you go?
Yes, ma'am. The engineer will give you that number.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yes,
and thank you, and
thank
don't hesitate to call back.
Okay.
Aloha,
thank
Terry. Thank
Aloha.
You.
7826.
Well, Carol, she does make a point, and
mm-hmm.
I appreciate her calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we have burial plots, you know, vaults that have been
mm-hmm.
built
mm-hmm.
on a number of sites out there to help protect and keep our ancestors put in place. But yes, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can tell when you do come upon our ancestors that is definitely traditional Hawaiian.
Right, and there were, such as when the iwi was placed, and to my limited knowledge, there were, in some instances, ili'ili.
Yes.
And placed in certain ways and places that they were placed.
Well, that's what I mean about, you know, not getting the facts.
Right,
you know,
right.
The right, proper people getting
right.
the facts there so
right.
that we know exactly,
right.
you know, who or what nationality they
and
are.
And that's why it's important for the DLNR to be ever so vigilant
yes.
and having the things in place and having the experts and the trained people that they claim to hire. To
right.
When there is a discovery, it would eliminate that discussion because
exactly.
a trained person
will know
because their burials occurred a certain way.
Right,
right.
right. That's where experience and
but if you hire people for political reasons and no training and you deny them the right of doing their job
mm-hmm.
and you don't give them the expertise and the upgraded training, guess what? You have a palace situation where, hello,
yes.
This is a DLNR police department of conservation officers calling. Can you send a real police? Because now we've been putting this big facade or this face on something that we are not able to take care of.
Right.
You see,
mm-hmm.
we've been shucking and jiving the public.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, when we talk about coverage by the DLNR, and what have you, and the lack thereof. Just recent, in the past couple of months, the governor, with the being accompanied by Laura Phelan,
mm-hmm.
goes out to Rabbit Island. Now, Rabbit Island is closed. Now, I understand that to do that, just to go out and look a little, now, they have the right to do that, and, you know, and they could probably explain it, but they had some other guests that were not scientists, or what have you. Then, about 2 weeks or so later, the lieutenant governor goes out with an entourage and had some children in tow. Now, the reason I raise that issue is that I've asked for information on that because I believe that that's a misuse of their authority by taking children out on a tour. If they were going in a professional manner or
mm-hmm.
under their business as government, fine. But to do this, they used conservation officers to have their field trip. And so, in calling DLNR, see, they'll talk to you when it's something good. But when you have a question, for example, when we were there at the palace that night trying to film,
right.
they let some media in. They didn't let others. They asked others to leave, and I was one of those others. I'm there. But meantime, anybody could just walk around. But if you had a camera trying to document anything, you were asked to leave.
Right.
Matthew, you there?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, and we don't have a whole lot of time, so how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for your time. I'd like to ask a few questions to your guest Kim.
Okay,
sure.
I would ask a two-part question. One is of historic and other more modern significance. Since the abolition of the Hawaiian religion as a practice under King Kalakaua, do you think this, I would say, furor over the iwi and cultural practices, cultural places, and the sacredness or sanctity of certain places is outmoded or obsolete. Given this historical context, then what do you think, aside from obviously increasing the enforcement of laws and regulations on the books and increasing funding, what do you think is the most important part of being good stewards of the islands?
Well, you know, those are all good questions. But first of all, I have to say that there is a process out there that we are kind of bound by. It's the law, you know, laws. And but we need to sleep at night knowing that our ancestors are taken care of. Yes, we are stewards of the land, and this is just a Polynesian, you know, island-wide kinds of issues, but everybody, I cannot speak for everybody, I'll speak for myself. Culturally, it is not respectful of what they are doing out there. I disagree with a lot of things the state is handling. There's not enough information out there for people. There's not enough experience out there for these people to make decisions on behalf of us. And that's, you know, I don't know what I need a little bit better, you know, King Kalakaua. As far as your question goes, I'll respect every one of our past kings' wishes. We do have laws set in place here. I don't know what you want from me as far as what are you asking?
Given the extremely limited resources allocated to the DLNR and I guess their current scant enforcement and regulations of their existing properties, do you think it is frivolous to be making such a, an amount of awareness or an awareness of campaign against the bones or Evie or sacred places as opposed to, say, protecting invasive species or overdevelopment or rezoning for commercial purposes and these sorts of things, I think are overriding factors in being good stewards of the land as opposed to more cultural things such as preservations of sites or bones found in the ground, which really I would say are obsolete in the face of modernity and in the reality of the situation where of limited funds and limited resources and an eroding state of the island.
Yes.
Well, Matthew, I you know, we talk occasionally. Where are you from?
I'm born and raised there.
Okay. So it would be okay to say that you have some great concerns. It is not the responsibility of the people to sit back and have to design new answers. It is the responsibility of the government to adhere to the rules. This whole process has been thought out already, you see. And these things have been in place. The issues here are they are failing, and the real commitment and the value that is, should be placed and assigned to these by these agencies who are mandated, now, not by choice. So alien species, import, export, parks, drinking and driving and boating, and all of that falls under the purview of the DLNR. And the issue here is that the DLNR has perpetrated, not the people who are concerned with the way the EV and the historical sites are being treated. Well, we don't need to reinvent all of that and redefine it.
Right.
We simply need to say to the DLNR and the Governor Lingle to say, if you're going to do this, you have all of this under this banner of the DLNR, then you should fund it properly, find the right people, and don't put political people in. And follow through. It's real simple.
There's rules and regulations, Carol, and yeah, they have been breaking them. They haven't been following them.
The Antiquities Act, there's federal mm-hmm. rules, there's all kinds of things. But
burial laws.
Anyway, well, thanks, Matt, for calling in. But
thank you for the show.
Yeah. And so what is really going on, Kim?
Well, you know, Carol, culturally, this is always what's asked. What can we do? Culturally, what can we do? I got this wonderful advice from Ali'i Mitchell, who is a cultural surveys person, you know, from Pahoa, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
They say, pule, prayer. There is power in prayer. Pule to our ancestors to grant those who were preserved in place understanding in that the Kanaka Maoli, who are greatly and justly concerned and are tied both culturally and linearly, have done their best to help in the preservation of their iwi kupuna. Pule for strength, wisdom and insight to where we can go next in the caring of our iwi kupuna.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally, we know this is not right, so let us continue in our efforts to care for our iwi kupuna. We need to get involved with those who are proposing these projects so that others may have a voice in any future projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of Hawaii, we need to be educated. We need to educate ourselves of mm-hmm. the process. And, you know, what is the process? How can we find the rules and regulations of this process? And who is responsible for this process? What we need to do is contact and get to know our burial council members, speak with them, help them understand to help us. contact the State Historic Preservation website, which links to the rules and regulations of the State of Hawaii Preservation Act, and so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the State of Hawaii, State Department of Preservation needs to also look at their own rules and regulations, mm-hmm. because they are not following them.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we keep them in order.
Mm-hmm.
So speak up, people. Speak up out there.
And be careful what you read in these editorials where they're bashing, and that's all it is, bashing the police department. And, you know, again, it's so important. The real protection that we are afforded is through the Honolulu Police Department, because we had the first incident here recently, a couple of months ago, and then this was Flag Day, right? Now, you'd have to be on vacation mentally as a professional resource manager or government entity to not anticipate some type of overt act on the part of a protester or whomever,
mm-hmm.
to make a statement. Flag Day, right?
Right.
And I applaud anybody that wants to protest and take issues with anybody. I think that
it's
is
part of life.
It's deep-seated. That's
mm-hmm.
what we're about. But this agency, DLNR, should have anticipated that. But instead, they didn't do anything the first time. They sat in the basement for more than a week and a half with the thumbs on you know, up the noses, sitting around waiting for Laura Phelan to make a decision.
Yes.
Right? Then secondly, when this other event occurs, what do? They get a call, they muster all the guys up, they're over in the basement, and if they had responded and based on the previous incident, right,
mm-hmm.
then we wouldn't hear the story that the sergeant of the Honolulu Police Department didn't act and didn't do this. And
right.
another thing, just to show you, now, I understand, and I've been sure where this thing gets out of sync. I'm told the people that, the protesters,
mm-hmm.
or I'm calling them protesters, be careful, they entered the palace and were wearing booties,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The responding force.
Right, they
went in with their boots on and whatever.
Their work shoes.
Now, was that a SWAT situation that they needed to go in and extract, and would that have escalated? So just if you don't have any operations plans, Ms. Thielen, DLNR, and Governor Lingle, if you don't place an importance on these sites and the culture and the real protection, then we're going to probably see some of this stuff damaged. And in fact, I'm told the barracks, they're on the grounds. A sledgehammer was used, and one of the individuals hit it with the sledgehammer, and it banged him in the face, and he was taken to the hospital, guarded by three or four DOCARE officers, and that individual escaped and is still on the run, on the lam. So, folks, there is a serious issue here. Thielen is failing us, the governor has failed us, and she owes us, and we need to see a professional apology,
yes,
to the Honolulu
definitely.
Police Department. But thank you for coming in, and I'll pick up this subject again. This is Carol Cox at The Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at carolcox.com. And Kim, thank you. Anything you want to say?
Thank you, Carol. I just want to say malana pono, everybody out there, and get involved. Stay educated. Speak your mind. Aloha.
Aloha.
Lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep 7, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the deep seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.